Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm joined by the Gina De Laurentiis to my cooking show, Rich Stamboli.
I'm Gina to your Bobby Flay.
You're Gina De Laurentiis to my Bobby Flay.
Oh, very. I like that.
We can go to Europe together.
Let's do it. It's Rich and Andrew in Italy trying to eat something. What would you do, like, since I knew you had to go into the city today for a bunch of meetings?
Yeah.
What would you do if I just brought, like, some focaccia and just effing wailed it at you right now?
Oh, I would love some focaccia. I'm not doing bread. I'm doing keto.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you had to go into the city just covered in focaccia.
Covered in focaccia bread? Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm wearing a suit again. This is not a normal thing. This is not a regular thing. A lot of people were upset. It threw people off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this shit. Look, Andrew's getting big time now with his suits. I got a job. I got a really crazy corporate job.
Yeah.
That I don't think anybody realizes how nuts it is. Like, today I'm in corporate meetings all day. Mm-hmm.
You got a long day today.
I got a very long day today. So I'm wearing a suit.
You got to wine and dine, too.
So much.
Which I feel like I'll give you credit for that because I know how exhausting those days can be of like meeting. And then just when you think you're done, it's like, well, I got to take these guys out to dinner.
We got dinners. Yeah, we got dinner going on. So I wanted to do the show. So we're doing a little bit early today, but there's a ton to talk about. Guys, listen, the last couple of weeks has been an awesome ride. So if you're new to the show, if you're only listening on YouTube or watching on YouTube, I should say, join us on every podcast platform.
Straight up.
You could go to iTunes, Apple Podcasts now, I should say that. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Music, Pandora, Audible Podcasts, every single place you could imagine, that's where we are.
Are we on iHeartRadio?
We are on iHeartRadio.
Are we on Sirius?
We are not on Sirius. We should be, though.
We should be.
We could be.
We will be.
We could be.
Hey, listen.
If I wanted to, we could do it. I can manifest that, too. So a lot's going on this week has been wild. Obviously, we'll start off with some of the bad news. New WWE releases. So I had been told that NXT UK was getting some releases and there was going to be possibly not higher end releases, but maybe here and there. Sporadic. You know, corporate restructuring has been going on. And that's what I kind of imagined these releases on the WWE side, the main side would be from. But you know, obviously it wasn't, and there are some tremendous cuts, the biggest being Braun Strowman.
Physically.
I'm just going in size order here, guys.
Okay.
Braun Strowman released, Aleister Black, Lana, Ruby Riott, Buddy Murphy, and Santana Garrett. And Santana Garrett's bizarre to me because she was just called up to the... I mean, it's all bizarre.
Yeah.
Some of them. Like, Lana... I'm not surprised.
It's also, we'll preface this by saying, like, it's always unfortunate.
Terrible.
When people have to lose their jobs. But listen, for the most part, I think everybody on this list is going to land on their feet. I don't see Braun wrestling anywhere else.
We'll go into that.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. So not every one of these releases were for the same reasons.
Right.
Obviously, budgetary cuts is the overall story that they're telling you. But Braun's was very much equated to how big his contract was. This guy, I mean, it's a seven-figure deal, and WWE just felt that it wasn't working. And unfortunately, for a lot of these higher top-tier guys, you know what's interesting? So, a guy like Braun, like top-tier guys like Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, there's a no-cut policy in these contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Roman Reigns has a no-cut policy. Vince cannot go and cut that contract out and be like, oh, sorry, guys. Like,
that would be insane.
He has to pay you the remainder of that contract. Unless you do something so, I mean, ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Braun Strowman didn't have that in his deal. And it was very much a budgetary cut. They realized that he's very highly paid. And it's not equating to anything. And listen, at the end of the day, it's a business, right?
Yeah. I mean, in a situation like that, this is pure speculation. But, like, you know, you could easily picture somebody going, Mr. McMahon, we need to do this, and that. Here are the contracts of whatever. And then he goes, we're paying him how much? Oh, no. And then that's the decision, you know?
Yeah, well, this is a total restructure of the company, you know, the corporate side. You know what's fascinating? So a lot of like people are like, well, he was getting paid a lot. He should have just asked for less money. I saw that. Somebody commented that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, it doesn't work like that. And you know what? It's not really his fault that creative sucks.
And yeah, right, exactly.
They have this monstrous guy 2 years. I mean, he's 2 years past his prime, right? At this point.
Do you think so?
2 years ago, this guy was so over with the kids.
Okay.
everyone, listen, and I have a good point of view of that, right? All my friends have kids.
Right.
All these kids loved Braun Strowman. Mm-hmm. They freaking loved it. When he was like murdering people in the ambulance and all that stuff.
Doing the choo-choo train?
No, pre-choo-choo train.
It's pre-choo-choo train?
Pre-choo-choo.
Okay.
When he was just flipping things.
Okay.
Tables, desks, cars, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. They freaking loved him. This guy was hot, and they killed him.
They did. You know, the creative thing is very interesting because, like, I also feel like sometimes from the stories you hear, no matter what you pitch to the office, a lot of that stuff doesn't get through. It doesn't get heard. It doesn't get seen. Right.
Yeah.
So who's to say that Braun wasn't like, hey, listen, like, I kind of want to do X, Y, and Z. And then somebody goes, nah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, we got other plans for you. And then that other plan just unfortunately happened to be him getting fired.
Yeah. So you want me to, and this is not based on anything I know. And okay. I think you have the same point of view on this.
True.
I don't see him going anywhere else.
Nope.
I see this as he's going to go home for a couple of months.
Sure.
And then WWE is going to renegotiate his contract.
Oh, for sure, dude. Like, it's not like we can see the writing on the wall. And also, it sucks that, you know, all these folks got fired. But at the same time, listen, like, he's a wealthy guy, you know? He'll be fine. I think at the end of the day, if he saved his money, he can coast off that money till God knows when, you know? Make some investments, do all that stuff. But who's to say when live shows are kicking, Royal Rumble comes around next year.
Braun Strowman's back.
Yeah. Braun Strowman's back. You know, like, I don't think he's going to... He strikes me as a guy like Ryback. I don't know the guy personally. I don't know Ryback personally. But from a fan's perspective, he strikes me as a dude who's, like, not going to show up on
WWE for life.
He's not going to show up on indies. You know, he's not going to call Tony Khan and be like, put me in the main event, dude.
Yeah.
Have you heard about my idea? About making a group.
The Dummy Squad.
Dum Dums. You know?
Who would be in the Dum Dum Squad?
And he hangs up on him. Hello?
Your Dum Dum Squad is over. How do you feel about that?
It's done, man. I think.
It's done.
He was in the hallway going, nobody? Huh? Am I the only one?
Well, that was a big problem. He pitched the Dum Dum Squad, and that was it for Vince. So.
So I don't think he's going anywhere. But on the other hand, Aleister Black.
You know what? He says he was blindsided by this. Mm-hmm. He did not expect this. There was a report that Thea was training for a return, possibly to WWE. I mean, I don't know what to make of this because they were ready to push him, and something really changed. Something happened where they figured out that we really don't know what to do with this guy. He said that he always felt that Vince respected him and he had a good relationship with him. Vince liked the character. Vince thought he was a top tier guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was. I have to say, you know, when you have a creative team of like 30 people and these guys cannot come up with something interesting for a guy like Aleister Black, maybe you need to rethink on who's getting canned and who's not.
Dude, it's. They have so much talent on that roster. Can you cut the mic for 2 seconds?
Yeah. That's what he said?
That was like the rumor.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't want to say on air.
Okay.
You know,
Got it.
You know, like he posted, Aleister Black posted a social media post saying like, this is what I was born to do.
Yeah.
Right? I love that. I love the fact that this guy's going to show up somewhere. And guess what? All Out. Falls right as those 90 days ends. Is up. Right?
So, I mean, again, this is part of the discussion too, right? And then let's go into the who may go where, right? Lana, for example, Lana's released. I think Lana's release is welcoming.
No brainer.
Not because I don't like her. Like, I'm just telling you. I think her and Rusev together were a tremendous act.
100%.
Tremendous act. And it is something that you can naturally recreate with Miro and her in AEW because the reality is it's their personas that's going to get over.
Absolutely.
And I think she's so easy, and not saying anything about her personally, but the character she's always been able to play, she's easily dislikable.
Easily loved and easily dislikable.
Yeah.
And also, I really think if she, this is my 2 cents, if she does go to AEW, she gets bonked on the head immediately and the Russian accent comes back.
Can you imagine?
Wouldn't you pop? Like,
well, what if it's not Russian?
What, like?
What if she becomes French
or German?
That could be her gimmick every week. She gets bonked on the head and she has a different accent.
I do like that.
I just want, you know, like, can she do like a good, like, any kind of Eastern European accent? Can she go from Polish to Ukrainian,
probably,
you know, to like Macedonian?
Probably.
I just
probably
wanted to become like touring the Eastern European bloc.
I think they fit perfectly together. And you know what? Like, as much as I like Miro, I do think he needs his wife as his valet.
I think so, too.
They're such a good package, right?
Yeah, tremendous package. Ruby Riott is, you know, I could see why they released her. They couldn't figure her out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was deserved. I think Ruby Riott going to any company would be a tremendous asset for their women's division, top to bottom. She makes a lot of sense for AEW. She also makes a lot of sense for Impact. I don't know where the answer is. Santana Garrett, we discussed, she was getting pulled to the main roster, but Buddy Murphy is very interesting.
He's going to show up in the Impact Zone as Murph Budman.
Murph Budman, attorney at law. His style is like modern day, like Kenny Omega-ish. That you know, a lot of knee strikes, a lot of chops, a lot of elbows. I think he'll be great anywhere else.
It's the furthered kind of hybrid style. This is me playing pure fanboy here, but I had a thought yesterday. I had two thoughts yesterday, just two the whole day. Thought number one was it would be so delicious if Buddy Murphy went to AEW, right? But Kenny used him as a proxy.
For what? In what way?
For his matches.
Tell me. Explain.
Like, for example, if it's like, instead of using Nakazawa, saying like, oh, to get to me, you have to wrestle Nakazawa, he'll say, you know what? To get through me, you have to wrestle this guy.
And he comes
who's
out.
He's pretty much like, he looks like
version,
me.
Yeah.
He wrestles like me. Let's do it. You know? And like, I feel like that would be such an FU troll to the fans. And then you eventually have that split and that feud between Buddy Murphy and Kenny Omega.
I think that would be cool.
I'm playing like fanboy.
But does he fall into a pack category? Like, I think WWE saw him in the same way. You know, just another guy. He's a very good worker, but he's just lacking that WWE charisma.
That quote unquote connection with the fans?
Whatever it is. I'm very curious for him. I'm very, very curious for him. I think Aleister Black, Tommy End, is going to get over anywhere he freaking goes.
Absolutely, dude.
This guy was a stud on the independents. For me, I would really... I think AEW would be the answer for him. Really. But again, a lot of this, don't be surprised if you see some of these names return back immediately.
Yeah. You know, like, that happened a ton over the last couple of years. You know, they brought back Jinder Mahal and a few other guys. Drew McIntyre, I think. Like, he did the tour of the indies and got brought back in a big way. Who's to say it's not going to happen? But I do think, like, you know, you have those tree branches of, like, where these guys might go, and it's all, like, fun and stuff. Like, Aleister Black could show up in AEW. Who's to say this guy does not join Bullet Club? Who's to say this guy doesn't show up in the G1, you know?
His stream where he mentioned numerous things, he was airing out a lot of his grievances, and also spoke very highly at the company. He brought up some interesting things. Like, one of it was... hold on, let me pull it up here. One of it was that he kind of like took a shot at like Dirt Sheets.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, everybody's reporting I was going to go back down to NXT. And then like 5 minutes later, he's like, oh, so when I was talking about going down to NXT, you know, that's the other thing, right? Why? Obviously, Braun Strowman wouldn't work there, but Ruby Riott, Buddy Murphy, Aleister Black, why couldn't they go down to NXT?
I feel like they have that internally. Again, this is pure speculation on my part. I feel like internally the company has this mindset with NXT where if you put Buddy Murphy, Aleister Black, and Ruby Riott back on that roster, they will outshine every competitor that they're trying to build.
But they're also trying to build a program with ratings, right?
They're trying to build
a big problem for them.
Right. But if you watched like NXT over the last few weeks, it's really been like a lot of their own like performance center people and a couple of their signings, right? You know, like they really want Santos Escobar to shine. You know, they really want to push MSK and Bronson Reed. They want to have like their homegrown guys. And you see kind of like, not that Gargano's being pushed to the side, but I feel like internally they may be like, well, he had his time to shine already.
Yeah.
Ciampa had his time to shine already. Adam Cole, the whole Adam Cole thing I found interesting, you know? Because, like, people were saying, like, why is he not on the main roster? I think they're keeping him there as like an NXT lifer. You know, people like seeing him.
Yeah, I think some of those guys, absolutely, they're going to be like that. I do find it fascinating that they don't just move these people around. They have a secondary brand. You know, you, here's the option. You got a guy like Aleister Black. Do you go to him and insult him and be like, listen, we're going to bring it. Aleister Black's a different story, but like a Ruby Riott, listen, we're paying, I'm throwing a number, I have no idea. We're paying you $300,000 a year. Listen, I don't think it's making sense on the main roster right now, but if we moved you down to NXT for $250 or, you know, $200, You would have an easier schedule, and you could rebuild your talent, your character, and your persona over there. I don't know if they offer it, and people are like, that's so effing insulting. You're going to cut me and move me down there. I think guys like 100% Aleister Black could have come up, and Aleister Black came up too early. Ricochet's a great example. You know, I'm gonna put out a rumor here, which generally when I'm told stuff, it's coming from a higher level with the company. I was told specifically that there's going to be more releases to come. Not today. Maybe not today. I don't know. I don't have a day.
Right.
But I was specifically told that... I was specifically told that... I'm trying to word this properly. This is going to be a regular thing. You're going to see these releases happen. They're reshuffling the deck with talent. They're realizing that the company got very bloated with talent over the last, I don't know, 2-3 years. Where WWE doesn't release anybody, they hang on to people, they threw ridiculous money to guys like Gallows and Anderson. They threw ridiculous amount of money to them to stay.
And only to let them go.
And they wouldn't let them go, and then they let them go, you know, after WrestleMania. So it's
bizarre.
The whole thing is bizarre, whole thing.
Here's my other conspiracy theory. Vince and Cody are booking All Out together.
That's amazing. That's a great conspiracy.
You know, like
that's like a deep rabbit hole conspiracy.
Like, let me give you some of my guys. In 90 days, you can use my toys.
That's so bizarre.
You know,
well, I think that's part of the plan too. Now, if you're AEW, you have to play this smart. You can't go and just grab everybody. You know, I put out a tweet yesterday on the Matt Minn account, and I'm like, just picture this.
Yes.
It's All Out. The main event is Kenny Omega versus Braun Strowman. Braun crushes him in 3 minutes and becomes the AEW World Champion.
Oh, you have so many people took a dump on that.
People really got upset at even the concept being put in the universe.
People got so mad at that. And you know what? I looked at it, and I was like, oh, that's a good troll. That was a really good troll, Andrew. Like, real, real spot on. Because people were coming out of the woodwork that I don't even think know we have a podcast. Who were so butthurt by your statement.
Yeah.
You know, like all the Kenny defenders.
Like, it's a funny concept.
I think it's a great concept.
First of all, it's terrible, but it's freaking hysterical just to envision that.
Yeah. Do you think they'd call him Big Strongman?
You know what I do see? If he does go, obviously it's going to be him and Big Show in that first match.
You think so?
Him and Big Show are going to be in a match.
Just doing planches on each other?
But listen, that guy's not that. He's 6'6". He's not like a 7-foot giant.
He's like shoot 6'6". I thought he was 6'9".
No, he's like shoot 6'6".
Oh wow.
Look it up. See.
I will.
I don't think he's as big as we envision him to be.
How tall is Braun Strowman?
Bound stout man.
6'8".
6'8". Okay. But I think that's his work height.
Okay.
Or maybe he is 6'8". Maybe he is 6'8". So listen, I see this as being an opportunity for these guys to go out and do something cool. Listen, Ruby Riott, great asset. Lana definitely has to go with Miro. Buddy Murphy could go anywhere. Santana Garrett, she's interesting because I don't understand what the issue with her has been over these last like 5 years. She's very talented. She created a name on the independents with women's wrestling before the whole women's boom. She's been around for a while. I think that Wonder Woman gimmick works for her. I just don't know what the issue is. I don't know why she hasn't been on a main roster somewhere.
Can you cut that for
me? Thank you. Okay, thank you. Rich with some insight for me that I cannot share.
Yeah, because...
He's just cursing at me.
I looked it up yesterday.
Okay.
And I think that may have been...
Okay, it's possible. I don't know. So currently there are seven... So right now, look at this. Currently, there's 7 active women on SmackDown and 9 on Raw. That's another piece of the notes here. Budget cuts were the reason, like we said, but there's a little bit more to it than that. You know, last week we spoke about this from my experience. When you see a major corporate restructure like this on the level, you know, there are some indicators that maybe they are looking to possibly put it out there that maybe we're for sale.
Hey.
I'm not saying that they are. I'm not saying that they will sell. I'm not saying any of that. But based on indicators, there's two things here. One, my gut feeling, mm-hmm. and this is my assessment, yes. okay? My assessment is that looking at their expenses mm-hmm. and their quarterly reports, right, to the stockholders and mm-hmm. investors, they shocked all their investors when they realized how much money they were making throughout the pandemic. Because the concept, even though these people are investors in the company, they really don't understand the wrestling business. They realize that it's a good business to be in right now because mm-hmm. the companies, they don't care what WWE does. They just want to see the stock move.
Right, right, right.
So it's analysts predicting where it should go. They blew every expectation out of the water because mm-hmm. they cut the biggest expense that they had, and that was touring.
Right.
So they made crazy amount of money because they were still selling merch on their website. Yes. They were still getting those TV deals. Yeah, there's no... And then their expenses got cut. Their travel schedule got cut. They cut some of their staffing. They furloughed people. So their numbers were looking phenomenal. They opened up the Thunderdome. Obviously, it's a great expense, but they were still looking good because they're not traveling. Now, there's so many eyes on this company mm-hmm. as far as a corporate restructure goes, TV deals go, the talent goes, television goes. They need to make sure that their quarterly numbers are going to hit when they hit touring. They've probably done deep dive forensic analytics into seeing where these numbers are going to be, and it doesn't fall in line with what they expect, so they now have to cut costs to meet that gain. That's how I will look, the way that I look at this, the simplest of answers, mm-hmm. right? Because sometimes it's the simplest of answers. That is the simplest of answers to me.
That's fascinating too, also, because, like, you know, it's not a spite thing. It's a money thing. Where fans think it's a spite
thing. Sometimes it's a spite thing.
You know, I don't think with these guys it was a spite thing. I think it was like a money thing and also like a we don't have anything for you thing, and then predicting the future, especially with live shows. Like, they're going to do, I feel like they're going to break records with merch sales at these live shows. Because if you think about it, like, think about how many kids during lockdown maybe weren't old enough to go to a wrestling show.
And now they are.
And now lockdown's kind of over. Live shows are coming back, right? Yeah. Now they are. Each kid's walking away with, like, 3 t-shirts. A dad's getting a t-shirt. A mom's getting a t-shirt. Like, everybody's going to get
something.
Such merch from these shows. And WWE puts out every single kind of merch imaginable, which is nuts, you know?
Beer koozies,
umbrellas,
everything.
Like, if you're like, hey, I don't want this Finn Balor t-shirt, but I'll take this pair of Finn Balor socks and the Finn Balor beer koozie and the Finn Balor top hat and the Finn Balor beret.
I just feel like there's a lot of shuffling going. They also did a bunch of corporate hires.
Right.
They hired somebody from Fox. Will be part of the digital property and will oversee WWE Studios. So this is not... We have reached a very a pinnacle point in WWE, right? Mm-hmm. We have different eras. The era of Bruce Pritchard being sent to run WWE Studios or Shane McMahon running, you know, whatever, that's gone. They are hiring the best that they could possibly get now from all different types of media. And you're seeing that. They got a guy from Disney. They got a guy from ESPN Disney. They got a guy from Fox, the Zone guy. I mean... Nick Khan is building his all-star team, his dream team right now of top-level corporate entertainment and sports executives.
I truly romanticize that era of WWF. Only because, like, I feel like that's such a good, like, definition of mom and pop. You know, especially with, like, let's use Bruce Pritchard for an example, right? Vince going, hey, pal, do you think you could do this? Well, I've never done this before. I think you'll do a good job.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to now where it's like, we need the best of the best to do it. Just short of people who are working directly in Hollywood and for Netflix or something like that, you know? If they crossed over to get these guys who are producing, like, Netflix shows and showrunners of that caliber, I feel like it would be such a different and tremendous
product. But they try that, right? They try that with the writing team. So let's get to that, right? Let's go into that. WWE has been restructuring... I think the next big move for them is to hire some legitimate, high-quality studio writers.
For sure, yeah.
I mean, that know wrestling, that understand wrestling. We got to also remember that, because if your corporate side knows nothing about wrestling, which these guys, they're not wrestling guys getting hired. Your writing team has to know the product.
You know who I'd hire? Oh. I feel like it's an untapped resource. I would hire comic book writers who are fans of wrestling.
Yeah.
Like Jason Aaron comes to mind. Like that dude is a tremendous, he's writing for Marvel now pretty much exclusively. He's a tremendous writer. And half of his feed is pro wrestling and half of it is comic books, you know?
Yeah.
And I think somebody like that
would get it.
Would get it, be able to come up with like cohesive stories. But again, it's a Shark Tank. You're fighting for your spot as a writer.
Yeah.
You're fighting for Vince's ear. You know, I feel like unless there's an old story about CM Punk slamming down like 2 years worth of storyline on Vince's desk. I feel like unless you're doing that, nothing's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I would say expect some more cuts to be announced in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to say. So that's your little byline, guys. I would say expect some more cuts.
Okay. Can we talk a little bit about like, it's just a rumor at this point,
mm-hmm.
but we talked about this for quite some time a few years ago, and I said like Disney would buy them.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm wrong about that now, and yeah. I'm so leaning toward NBC, and it makes more sense because that whole Peacock thing is garbage.
Right? Oh, it's terrible.
Peacock is garbage. I mean, like it's good enough. But when you compare it to like other streaming platforms,
Hulu, Netflix, even WWE Network,
garbage, you know? And I'm just kind of like, is this like a honeypot deal? Did they sweeten the pot by putting them on Peacock just so they can try to like get an in and like, you know?
So normally when a sale happens, mm-hmm. there's like tons of rumblings and there's not much except for the assumption, right? But if you're Peacock and you're paying this much money, why would you continue paying it? Because the TV rights deal ends in a couple of years.
Right.
Right. And obviously WWE is going to want more money. They're not going to want less.
Right.
So why wouldn't you say, okay, you know what? I'm going to give, you know, whatever the evaluated $1 billion number is. I'm just going to buy the company. And in a couple of years, in 5 to 7 years, I'll get my money's worth. Mm-hmm. I'll own the property then. And everything is pure profit after that. I'm not going to owe any money. I think that would make the most sense because these TV deals have gotten so gigantic.
Absolutely.
And WWE, by the way, very smart. You know, people are like, well, why are they on two different networks? Well, this is exactly why. You've created a bidding war in 3 years where because other people have your properties, and now you're going to bring in more people
right.
to negotiate, and it's just going to make your deal even bigger. So,
absolutely.
I don't know. We'll see, man. Very interesting stuff. Very, very interesting stuff.
I kind of have a question for you.
Yeah, shoot.
Okay, and I'm going back to the talent releases. It's again, I think we both feel the same way. In the modern age of speculation, it seems like the age of quote-unquote politicking has slowed down tremendously. Do you think...
No, it hasn't.
Do you think backstage in WWE, if these guys politicked a little harder, you know? Like Baron Corbin's a good example, and not only because Shin likes him.
But, Baron Corbin's a great example.
But so many people on social
like
media...
Like him.
Huh?
So, everybody in the company loves him.
Right.
Social media freaking hates him.
A lot of people on social media yesterday were saying, why weren't you the guy who got... Which is an awful thing to
what
say.
What a terrible thing to right? say to someone, huh?
Why didn't you get fired? Guess what? People like him, right? A lot backstage. I feel like it's an unpredictable, unquantifiable element.
I'm going to tell you, this is how life works. Here's the secret to success. Mm-hmm. Be freaking liked, right?
Yeah.
You want to be successful in your life? I'm gonna give you the Andrew Zarian top way to be successful. Don't be hyper aggressive,
mm-hmm.
right? Feel like you're in control of mm-hmm. the situation, even when you're not. Smoke and mirrors go a long way. And align with people. Be nice. Be mm-hmm. friendly. Don't stir shit up because then you got a fucking job for life.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Baron Corbin.
I feel like you're gonna go into the Aaron Burr song from Hamilton right now.
I don't like wearing a suit, but I freaking do. You know why?
I think it's turning you into a monster, Andrew.
The suit? Oh yeah. Ugh, corporate takeovers. It's all I'm about 80s high corporate aggression. That's what I'm all about.
I'm really excited to be with you in Chicago when you're wearing that suit, so that when people come up to us that recognize us, or even people that know us, go like, "Hey guys, great to see you." You go, "Listen, that's nice. Why don't you get me and Rich a couple of seltzers?"
Here? Hey, do me a favor. Can you go down and call Cindy and get me a couple of seltzers? Thanks. All of the podcasts in our chat room. By the way, we have a great chat room, about 100 something people there right now on YouTube. He says, "Secret to Andrew's success: book coming soon." I actually have a working title. to my book. Thank you. It was a funny drug reference, but I'm afraid I'm going to get demonetized. So let's talk about WWE announced Saturday, August 21st for SummerSlam. We broke that story, man. You should be very proud of yourself. We broke that.
Yeah. I'm very proud of ourselves.
So I guess now I could kind of talk about more in detail. I was told this like months ago, and I insulted the guy. I was like, well, you're wrong, because it can't be on a Saturday. He's like, no, dude, it's a Saturday. Guy or girl, let me just say that.
Okay, yeah, sure.
I like to use guys.
In general.
Like, hey, guy. So
do you call women dude?
All the time.
Okay.
All the time. They kept telling me 21st, and I even convinced this specific person that they were wrong in these messages that they're getting. I'm like, whoever's sending that email is an idiot, because obviously it's not going to be on a Saturday. He's like, no, dude, it's Saturday. So they announced Saturday. They have yet to announce a location, but they said it's like a summer-themed destination.
Could mean a lot of things.
I mean, listen, it could mean a lot of things, but...
Give me three summer-themed destinations.
Miami.
Boom.
Fort Lauderdale.
Boom.
Tampa.
That's three in Florida.
Okay, that's it. I mean, what else?
Hawaii, California.
You know what? You know. Los Angeles, maybe?
Sure.
Hawaii, the Caribbean. I'm going to Barbados. Maybe they're going to do it in Barbados.
That'd be amazing. Is that why you're going to Barbados?
I am going to Barbados. Yeah, WrestleMania is in Barbados. No, guys, don't say that, please. I don't think Vegas when I think of summer destination. I think that is the last place I want to be. But, you know, WWE is a weird company. They consider Jupiter a summer destination, so might as well just go with Vegas.
The gas giant, so, Jupiter.
Last Thursday, I brought up that I was specifically told by people in Vegas from the arena that they are planning for SummerSlam to be there, and they also told me that there's going to be a special guest host, and I was told it was Cardi B. And they were working out the deal. It was either completed or very close to completed when I was told this a couple of weeks ago. Cardi B is her song Up is the official theme of SummerSlam, so it kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to have somebody else.
Too late to replace Cardi B.
I mean, too late. I mean, listen, who knows? This company's so weird. I don't know, but I'm willing to believe this person tremendously.
Imagine if it was like Picardi B, and it was Patrick Stewart dressed like Cardi B.
You know what? I'm kind of into that.
That'd be cool, Captain Picardi B.
Yeah. So they did not announce a location, however, and they put out that there's a lot. I don't want to get into it, but there's a tremendous amount of turmoil over this location. Whatever is happening is happening. I'm not going to bore everybody with the details. However, WWE PR did do a very good job at sending out six locations that WWE's that could potentially host SummerSlam. And immediately I saw that list. I'm like, dude. And I called Rich, and I'm like, this list is total bullshit.
Yeah.
Top to bottom, this list is the epitome of a PR fabrication. To soften the blow of the announcement, to kind of take away the leak, and to make the announcement that they're going to make at the Belmont Stakes on Saturday, which I'm going to be there. I'm going to be at the Belmont Stakes.
Well, you got a lot of riding on that day.
Well, they make me ride all the horses around just to make sure they're okay. And it's terrible, dude. I got to tell you, the pain I'm in by the end of that day, they dress me up like a jockey. And they put me on the horses. Like, all right, take her out.
Well, they put you on them backwards.
So it's freaking terrible. I just grab onto the tail and hope for the best.
Whoa.
So they're going to announce it for the Belmont Stakes. And I'm going to tell you why this story is bullshit, okay? They announced, they obviously said Vegas, right? They said SoFi Stadium. They said Miami. What is it? Nashville, Miami, Vegas, L.A., New York, and Houston. If you look at their schedule, every one of those buildings has an event in the vicinity of that date.
Right.
Now, I know that Lady Gaga's performing at the MetLife on the 19th, and I think the 21st is Summer Jam, and I really don't think WWE wants to put on a Summer Slam along with a Hot 97 concert.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to happen. there's stuff happening in Miami. So essentially every building has something. Houston has something on the 16th.
Okay.
And they have, I believe, a construction convention in Nashville. One of the buildings had something. If you were to narrow it down, the only building that they could go and set up a gigantic stadium, okay, would have to be Vegas.
Right.
Because the last event is like the week before. It's like 10 days before, 9 days before. So they have plenty of time to set up and break down.
And it would be the same night of the Pacquiao fight, too, oddly enough.
It would be the same night of the Pacquiao fight. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't think anybody gives a crap about that Pacquiao fight. I don't think it's as big of a deal as it would have been 5 years ago. So
it's a big deal because crowds are there.
It's a big deal that crowds are there. But you know what? If you're WWE and you're trying to fill an arena, wouldn't you want to fill it when you already have 20,000 people in the town? And there's some big giant event happening like across the street from the building, too. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people in Vegas that week. And listen, I think Vegas, it should be Vegas. If the venue changes, it's a very last minute change.
Yeah.
I would be very surprised. I would be very, very surprised. But they announced, based on the cities that they announced, you know what? San Diego's a great city.
San Diego's a great city.
Great summer town.
Yeah.
Freaking love San Diego, man.
San Diego's fantastic.
There's nothing better than San Diego. It's 75 and sunny year round. How do you beat it? Except the summer. It gets a little warmer, but how do you beat it? So that's where I'm standing on this. I'm still standing by Vegas. I've spoken to a lot of people over this over the last week. I've gotten yelled at by people over this the last week, and I'm still standing by Vegas. We'll see. Listen, I have no problem being wrong. I only like being wrong when it's like a better wrong. You know what I mean?
In what way?
Like if it was like MetLife, I would love it. I'd love to be like, you know what? I'm a jackass. I'm wrong. But you know what the guy did from MetLife? One of my friends in the front office, he's like, listen, I'm going to tell you something. He goes, if I would know this, I would really know this if this was happening. He's a big wrestling fan. He's like, if this was happening, I would shit my pants right now. That's how shocked I would be. I'm like, that's what happens when you're surprised.
Right in front of you.
You just poop your pants. So we'll see what happens. What else do we have, Rich, with the news? Anything?
Well, we got one little tidbit here.
Yeah.
Do you think WWE is going to bring back part-time talent?
Yes,
to get the fans to watch.
Yes, everybody.
Like a Brock Lesnar.
Everybody.
Rob Van Dam.
I don't know Rob Van Dam, but I know I know that Lesnar's a big name.
Sabu.
You know what? I would love Sabu. I don't want to say.
This guy, brother.
I would say expect to see all of the big names that make sense.
Yeah, but I mean, one big name that's not going to be there attached to a big person, Mark Henry.
Mark Henry is not there. Oh, let me just touch on Lesnar.
Yeah.
Lesnar was early on for SummerSlam plans. They were trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I think the concept behind Lesnar is to justify what we are going to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
We need a more consistent touring schedule.
Right, right.
So we could build to this, you know, and those appearances by Lesnar will help sell tickets, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and this is the other thing, you know, WWE going on their touring schedule, they sold some tickets. They're selling it like pre-pandemic numbers, like around there, which is not a terrible indicator. And it's also not a great indicator because it shows that your product is not super hot, which we're going to get into. But it also, my God, we got like 30 minutes here. It shows that the product is not super hot, but it also at the same time kind of shows, if you look at the statistics, oh, well, you know what? We're where we were. And that's a good thing.
Yes.
Because we were doing well. However, that's going to dwindle a little bit. When you start going to like non-major cities, that's going to really start falling apart. Listen, maybe certain towns are going to realize that they're just not ready yet. Certain cities are not ready yet. The people are not ready.
The people.
I'm ready, man. I've been ready forever.
I'm ready, man. Listen, I'm excited for Chicago.
I'm very, we'll talk about that too. Because I got in big trouble.
Really?
Yeah.
By who?
People like to yell at me, but they're like, all right, it's fine. But they like, are you, why'd you say that?
Why'd you do that? But it's okay.
Well, I did it because I was told to buy tickets.
So right,
I thought,
right.
I buy my flight already. And I thought that it was announced.
We talked about this like 2 weeks ago too, because you were like, hey, this is what's happening. This is what they want us to do, blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, great, that sounds good. Listen, we both have like regular jobs and stuff that we need to take care of. So I think you took it the same way as like, you didn't even know it wasn't announced.
I felt bad.
Right.
I felt bad. I really did. I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. I honestly thought it was announced and I thought it was like, it was a said thing. And I believe they did say it at one point that the goal was Chicago. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I expect returns to happen. Lesnar was a top contender for SummerSlam, mm-hmm. but it didn't work out. And they made, you know, it made sense for them. You know, they need to be touring to bring these guys back. But, you know, they're in Minneapolis. They're in they're going to Pennsylvania. They go back to, you know, they go to Pittsburgh. They go to Philly. They go to Boston. Can a Hulk Hogan sell extra tickets? Yeah, goddamn yeah,
oh,
they
for
will.
Sure. And a Steve Austin.
A Steve Austin. Listen, Dwayne.
Undertaker.
Dwayne.
Yeah, Dwayne. Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade, yeah.
Dwayne Wayne.
Dwayne Wayne.
From It's a Different World.
Mr. Wayne?
Yeah, Mr. Wayne. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dwayne, listen, Dwayne I would
Johnson.
Dwayne The Walk. I would say, you know, expect to see these guys mm-hmm. in some capacity. So we'll leave that there. AEW, Mark Henry, man. Go ahead.
Mark Henry, I had such a good segue before.
Sorry, man.
It's okay. Mark Henry signed with AEW, man, over the weekend, right? Like, I popped. And he's going to be the Rampage commentator, which is kind of cool.
He is, by the way, Bob Rowe with $5. Brutal Bob Rowe. Bayside Zone. For Andrew's Uber to his parole officer parole visit.
Very right. Nice.
Well, I am dressed for my visit with my parole officer, so.
What did you think about the Mark Henry signing?
I think it's smart.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, you know, it's interesting. People are like, wow, they're grabbing all these old timers for what? I'm like, think about the WWE backstage, right? Think about who's on commentary,
right?
Who's who runs? You know, who are the agents? Who runs backstage? It's all these guys, man. Mm. You need old, and it's always been like that. Like, I think people forget. You know who the agents were? It was older talent. Wahoo McDaniels.
Arn Anderson. And, great,
you know,
great
Arn example. Anderson was John Cena's agent forever.
Yeah.
So you need guys like this. And I don't want to see Mark Henry on TV every week. I don't like wrestling. I don't want to see Big Show wrestling every week. Even Christian. I think Christian is there's a purpose for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm okay with the Christian stuff, but you know, he's 47, 48 years old. You don't want him to be your top guy. Which he's not going to be their top guy, but he's a supporting cast, which is fine. But guys like Mark Henry, they have a lot to give, a lot of education to give to these younger talents. Him and, I mean, they're going to teach these younger guys. It's a seminar with the greatest names in the business.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
How do you not capitalize on that? How do you say, well, you know what? Mark Henry's available, but I don't want him. He's a WWE guy.
Yeah.
No, you're going to get this guy, and he's going to coach these kids.
It's a win for all the talent on that roster. It's a win for all the African-American talent on that roster. Like, Mark Henry is so passionate.
What? Dude, it's going to teach kids how to get over.
But he's a passionate guy about the business, and he's got so much left in the tank. And guess what? He was already friends with Tony Khan. So, again, if he went to Vince and said, hey, I feel like I can contribute in this way, and then Vince turns around and goes, we don't need you in that capacity. It's up to him to go, hey, well, I'm going to contribute in this way over here.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. And I think that's the misconception that people have about these guys signing is that comparative to, like, let's say when Hogan and Bischoff went to TNA to collect a paycheck, these guys,
that was the narrative.
I feel like these guys aren't there to collect a paycheck. They're there to build and contribute because they love
the business.
The wrestling
business.
Listen,
Mark Henry, and I know, I got to tell you, I know certain people that are very good friends with Mark Henry, and they say this man is a total class act, and he's like totally humble, and like one of the nicest guys you will meet.
Absolutely.
And what a great mind for the business, because he was a guy that ate so much shit. He came in hot, the world's strongest man, and they...
It was like a $10 million deal or something?
It was $1 million deal.
Okay.
But over like X amount of time, right? Was it $1 million a year? I don't know.
But it was a big
It was a big contract.
For who had not wrestled a match.
It was a big deal. And he learned how to work and he did well. And, you know, he was given the shaft a little bit and they made him go, you know, and train again and OVW and lose weight and gain this and gain that. And the guy had a Hall of Fame career. To every extent, he won the world title.
Yeah, dude.
The House of Pain stuff was so phenomenal.
Good. So good. Do you like the House of Pain stuff or the John Cena retirement turn?
I think the John Cena retirement turn was so unexpected.
Uh-huh.
that it really showed what a unbelievable talent this guy
is. I still get chills thinking about that.
Me too. That fucking salmon suit, man, etched in my mind. But it was so believable. Mm-hmm. And you got into it. You go, you know what? I want to see him beat the shit out of John Cena.
Absolutely.
Now. And he was a bad guy.
Yeah, it's great.
House of Pain. Did I say Hall of Pain or House of Pain?
You said House of Pain.
Listen, I'm all about House of Pain. Jump around. I love wild Irish guys from Brooklyn. It's all I want. Hall of Pain. All right. Sorry.
It's okay.
Go ahead.
So apparently we also got Dynamite's going to be preempted throughout the month of June for the NBA, I believe. And it's likely to stay on Friday nights. Now, apparently they expected the numbers to dip.
They did. Not this much.
Really?
No. Not 500,000.
Last week's Dynamite rating, 526,000 views on Friday night. For a show that starts at 10 o'clock, is that... See, I don't know anything about ratings. Is that good?
The 10 o'clock... And Fridays are a death spot for television.
Right.
Friday nights are really, really bad.
Especially now.
Historically.
People are kind of going out again.
People are starting to go out. Historically, Friday... You don't want to be on a Friday. WWE did not want a Friday. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you that. And that Friday really screwed up their tour. The expenses to travel went up because of the Friday move. So I would say that they should go up a little bit more from this now that more people understand. Like, I think 526 is unnecessarily low. Like, I don't think that's a fair indicator of where they're going to fall on a Friday night. I think they'll be in the sixes to sevens.
Okay. I think it's going to pick up momentum. And by the end of the month, by the end of June, you're probably going to see like a better number.
Yeah.
Because I also think this past week, myself included, forgot that Dynamite wasn't on Wednesday. Right?
Yeah.
I think we all did collectively in the group
chat.
We were like, can't wait for Dynamite. Oh, no. On Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to stay up. I go to bed very early.
Yeah. So this is going to be the Rampage spot. By the way, Mark Henry is the announcer on Rampage. So fine. Do we have
I like that bumper.
So fine.
I want you to just do that. It's so fine.
Do we want to run down this card or do we want to go into questions?
We got 18 minutes before we get out of here.
Okay.
Let's quickly run down the card do questions. All right. Guys, we did a nice watch along 5 hours for AEW Double or Nothing on Sunday. It was a lot of fun. Thank you guys for tuning in who tuned in, and thank you guys for donating who donated. Opening match, Serena Deeb beat Rio in 14 minutes. Solid match, really enjoyed it.
Great match. Really, really liked this match.
Serena Deeb, she's awesome, man.
Yeah. No, this was a really good match by both of them. And Rio has gotten so much better.
Yeah, Hangman Page beat Brian Cage, 12 minutes, 3 seconds. Talk about...
The pop.
Talk about the pop for Hangman. So over this guy.
You know what? That crowd loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what you got to do with him? Take it nice and easy.
Absolutely.
Don't do it yet.
Yeah.
Follow the Austin method. When Austin got over late 96, 97, they were like, okay, he's getting over, but not yet. Not yet. Not yet. They built it. They got to do this with Hangman.
Yeah.
They got to do it. And you know what? If Kenny Omega continues on with the belt collector stuff, he could beat Kenny.
Yes, absolutely.
And I would love to see that. Now I'm invested. You know what? A year ago, I would have told you it was a mistake to put the title on him. Now... Give him a little bit more time.
Well, especially, and I'll try to say this as quick as possible because we're strapped for time, but if the story is that Kenny is losing every belt at some point, and the last belt he has is that the most precious AEW title,
yeah,
that's where Hangman takes it.
Very cool. Love it.
AEW World Tag Team Championship match, the Young Bucks versus John Moxley, Eddie Kingston, 21 minutes. This was my favorite match.
Me too.
Love that they come out with Wild Thing. Mox, I think Mox got a little bit of a louder pop than Hangman.
I you know what? I got to re-listen to it. I got to re-listen. It wasn't as prompt. You may be right. I got to listen to it.
And if you watch it back, I still feel like it looked like he was about to throw that little kid into the
audience. Yeah, he was going to throw that kid in the audience. I got to tell you, this was probably my favorite match too. However, a little too much going on.
You think so?
Yeah. Nice. For a clean win, there were too many interferences.
But they did a great job of... This is an interesting build for Mox and Kingston because they did a phenomenal, not that he needed it, but they did such a great job of making this guy look like an unbeatable beast.
Yeah.
That it took so much to put this guy down and 3 or 4 BTE triggers to do it, right?
Yeah.
Jungle Boy won the Casino Battle Royal after 23 minutes. It came down to him and Christian. The crowd singing his song. Fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I was so wrong about this dude not winning. I thought it was going to be Penta.
Oh, the Battle Royal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a good pick.
But it was cool that it came down to him and Christian. And I feel like a lot of wrestling fans were on the edge of their seat going, it'll be cool if it's Christian, but I hope it's not Christian, you know? And it was nice that he kind of gave him the quote-unquote rub when he won. We also had the American Dream, Cody Rhodes for One Night Only, with Arn Anderson beating Anthony Ogogo with QT Marshall. 11-minute match. This match, I feel like it was placed perfectly on the card.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Not my favorite match. It was fine. I feel like there was just... Again, this is me personally as a fan. Not that the moves weren't executed well. I feel like there was like one or two like weird missteps that took me out of it.
I don't think the match played out that great.
Okay.
Yeah. RJ in the chat, $6.99, Canadian. Love the show, guys. Been listening for years. Can you provide an update on your other podcast, What the Tech? Has it been canceled? It has not been canceled. We're just on a hiatus until I get these clubs open. And then I could go back to...
Turkish clubs.
Turkish clubs, like this. Persian clubs.
Persian clubs. We had the AEW TNT Championship. The TNT Championship match. Miro beating Lance Archer in 10 minutes. Nice hard-hitting match. And I really thought Archer was going to take it at some point.
I like this match a lot. This match I genuinely enjoyed. Mm. Two big hosses going at it.
Big boy match.
Yeah, big boy match.
We had the AEW World Championship match. Dr. Britt Baker beating Hikaru Shida in 18 minutes. What a match.
I thought there were some issues with it, but I thought overall it was a fine match.
Apparently in the scrum after the match, Britt hugged Izzy, superfan Izzy.
I saw that.
And said, now you've hugged a real role model.
Freaking brilliant.
So good.
Brilliant.
Britt Baker is really coming to her own.
Yeah.
Love it. She's fantastic. She's going to be such a stalwart in that division. Can't wait to see where it happens.
Yeah.
Were you just doing this?
Just fixing the cuffs.
Darby Allin and Sting beat Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. 15-minute match. What a match.
I really liked it.
Mm-hmm. Sting doing the crossbody off the poker chips.
I thought that match was done perfectly. Perfectly booked.
AEW World Championship match. Kenny Omega beat Orange Cassidy. 26 minutes.
I started checking out a little bit. I think the show went a little long at this point.
You looked at the clock and you rolled your eyes.
It melted down.
And then when that happens, I know you. Listen, I know your facial expressions. You rolled your eyes and your face dropped.
And by the way, you called this match. You said it's going to be a freaking weirdo roll-up finish.
I said this is going to be the closest Orange Cassidy comes, blah, 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 blah. I guess the finish right. That's cool. Big Barry Horowitz for me. Stadium Stampede, the Inner Circle beat the Pinnacle 31 minutes and 31 seconds. This was all about Sammy getting over, huh?
Really was. Really. And the other match was about Sammy getting over, too.
Yep.
Because he started. I like this match. I loved seeing Tully and FTR in those ridiculous cutoffs, and
so
Tully
good.
Just standing like this.
So good, dude. So good.
So freaking good. Conan Shadow. I got to tell you, I like this Stadium Stampede 1,000 times better than the previous one.
This was a lot of fun, man.
Was this better in your opinion?
It was different, but I think I enjoyed this a little bit more because it was a little more hard-hitting, you know? And I'm a fan of the blood. I like it. This was a great build for Sammy. Sammy and Sean Spears ended the match. Urban Meyer appeared, which got a lot of mainstream press because they were fighting in Daly's place, like in all the different offices.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It did get a lot of crossover.
But it was really well done. It was really cool, guys. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. Do you want to go into questions or do you want to go into the card for Dynamite?
Go quickly into Dynamite and then we'll do questions.
Okay. We have about 12 minutes left, guys. So it looks like Dynamite on Friday, you're going to get Dustin Rhodes versus Nick Camarado in a bull rope match. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Young Bucks versus Pac versus Penta. That's going to be awesome. Cody and Lee Johnson versus QT Marshall and Anthony Ogogo. I feel like this is going to be the makeup for the Cody match on Double or Nothing.
All right.
Britt Baker, championship celebration. That's going to be a lot of fun.
By the way, no Moxley, no Kenny.
No Moxley, no Kenny.
And I think no Bucks. No, Bucks are on.
Bucks are on.
Somebody else wasn't on. I forgot what it was.
In a couple of weeks, you're going to get Kenny versus Jungle Boy.
Yes.
We can skip the New Japan.
Yeah, we'll pass the New Japan.
The only one thing I wanted to talk about is June 7th, Dominion. Oh, it's going to be Okada and Takagi for the vacant IWGP Championship.
So Okada has to take it.
All right.
You think another Okada run is, or
I think it's gonna. You know what? That's gonna be too close to call. Because I was saying Takagi
Shingo is the champion.
I feel like Takagi, they're setting him up with the Ospreay feud big time.
Yeah, but Ospreay's out for a while.
Yeah. So you know what? I wouldn't mind Okada champion. Let's see. All right, we got Q&A, guys.
Q&A time.
We got to get out of here in 10 minutes. If AEW introduces a trios title, who would you book as the first champs?
Oh, I mean, you have so many options. You could do somebody. You know what I would do? Penta, Phoenix, and Pac.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's such a tremendous trio. By the way, $10 from our boy.
Shin.
The only Shin in my life. $10.
The best Shin.
The best type of Shin.
All right. Let's see here. Yeah, I'd go with that. I'd go with like Penta Phoenix, the Death Triangle. It's in their name.
Yeah.
Josh Frierks, question for Matt Men. Say a movie called Spaceland was created where one pro wrestler was selected to save the world from an alien invasion. Which wrestler does Earth choose?
Michael Cole. Not a wrestler, but it would be Michael Cole. Michael Cole would have to save the Earth.
You got to go big and popular, right?
All right, who are you going?
Roman.
You're going to go Roman?
You got to go big and popular,
no,
right?
No, I don't want to pick the obvious.
Kenny Omega.
I don't want to pick the obvious.
Tanahashi,
but he would cause... He's like a weirdo alien.
Okay.
So like they'd be like, oh, everybody's like us? All right, cool. Mm. Tanahashi's not real. He was manufactured with John Cena and Randy Orton.
Who's the biggest wrestler in the world right now, currently?
Roman.
Okay. Crown Wolf, why aren't the writers being axed? How many times can we watch the same matches now? And SmackDown only has Bianca, Bayley, Sasha, Tamina, Natty, Liv, Carmella, and Sasha again.
So
two Sashas?
They go they go through writers all the time. It's just not public. All Elite Podcast. Thanks for answering my question. Appreciate it, boys. Yeah. All Elite Podcast. Go check them out. I think they do axe writers. It's just all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know. You don't know when they are because you've never heard of these people.
I think we got time for a couple more.
Couple more? All right.
Is there really talks with New Japan and WWE?
From
Large 23.
Large 23? I have a theory on this, but I'm afraid to say my theory because then it's going to get picked up. But I think you could assume where I stand on this because I haven't said a word about the story.
Okay.
Right?
No. Good.
I just feel like...
Been a good boy.
I don't know anything that would make me say no, but I've heard, do they have conversations? Yes. It happens not all the time, but it's a common occurrence. Whether or not the conversation was, let's do a talent exchange and we highlight New Japan talent and you use WWE or NXT talent, I do not think the conversations were what we think it was.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Fair enough. John Gorman asks, with the recent Raw rating, do you think there'll ever be a possibility where they get below 1 million viewers? We're getting closer and closer.
Can you say that question?
With the recent Raw rating,
Do
you think that there is a possibility where they get below 1 million viewers?
For
Raw.
A quarter hour, yes.
Okay.
100% it's going to happen. For an hour. By the way, that 1.1 million, I've heard that could be a mistake.
Okay.
Because it's so low. Like 1.1 million for the third hour is ridiculously low. Okay. Now, it was Memorial Day, but normally the way that Memorial Day works is that the first hour is terrible and then it grows a little bit.
Okay.
Which that did happen. The second hour was better than the first hour, but there was a tremendous drop for the third. Listen, maybe they didn't offer what people want. I think if they go below 1 million, that would be very, very bad for them. That's like an oh shit moment.
Huge oh shit moment, right?
Because 1.1 million, that's not good. That's your average. That's not even your high or your low. I mean, that's your average. So, interesting.
Rated C asks, since Jungle Boy is facing Kenny in 2 weeks for the world title, do you think Christian Cage will face Kenny at All Out? I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no also.
I'm going to say, since All Out is like their WrestleMania...
Has to be a real
Nick Aldis.
I don't know who it's going to be. I would love it to be Nick Aldis, but I don't think so. Jonathan is writing notes in the notes.
He's writing notes in
the notes. Oh, he missed the questions because he was busy.
He's writing his diary right now.
He's writing his diary. Dear diary. It has to be somebody that you're like, okay, you know what? They could dethrone Kenny right now. It needs to be believable. I don't think anybody believed that Kenny was losing the title at this pay-per-view.
Right, right.
It wasn't a thing.
He has to lose all those belts first before he loses
exactly.
the AEW.
Yeah.
Or gain more belts and then to lose them all. I think it's going to be Nick Aldis, dude. I think he's taking that NWA championship.
Oh, Kenny's taking it.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
That would be amazing. Bob Hazelwood says, I have no questions, but I like it when Rich or Andrew say my name.
Hi, Bob Hazelwood.
Bob Hazelwood. Oh, he's going to show up now. It's like Beetlejuice. All right, we got 5 minutes. Question from Brendan Santoro. If Adam Cole is going to stay in NXT, do you have any idea how well he's being paid?
Very well. It would be very well.
And his supplementary question, is there a reason why he's the only person in WWE to stream on Twitch now?
He probably went and said, I want to fucking stream on Twitch and go F yourself if you tell me I can't.
He probably set it up ahead of time.
I don't know. You know, some of these guys, it's less about, I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. it's less about like the overall rule, but it's more about who you are. Mm-hmm. And some guys are able to do something, you know, maybe they negotiated before. Maybe when they were, you know, it's part of their deal that they could do these things. I don't know.
We got two more questions.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go. Any news on Daniel Bryan?
I have no news on Daniel Bryan. I wish I did.
Interesting. Chocolate Thunder asks, this is the final question. Okay. This is going to pop me, and I love playing fantasy yep. booking. Could Okada versus Roman happen at SummerSlam if the rumors are true between New Japan and WWE?
Listen, I'm going to tell you, if I were to take a intelligent guess, I would say the odds of that happening at SummerSlam are none.
Yeah.
Okay.
But how cool would that be? I feel like a lot of stuff
but
is like, oh, how cool would that be?
Would I like to see an Okada versus Roman Reigns match? Yeah, I would love to see that. Who wouldn't? I mean, listen, it's such a bonkers combination of talent that you're like, you know what? I'm intrigued. And you know it's going to be a good match. So why not? I mean, listen, personally, love to see it. Are we going to see it? I don't believe so.
You know what the first 4 minutes of that match is?
Yeah.
Them hitting the ropes and show and bouncing off each other's
and
shoulders.
And the sparks just come off.
Just hitting. Yeah. And then Roman hits him with the Superman punch. Okada no-sells it. Fighting spirit.
Okay.
Giant, giant rainmaker.
I just got an email from WWE just now.
Hey, you guys talking about
no,
me?
No, it's for the Thunderdome. They're inviting me to the Thunderdome.
I think
it's
that's
a
it,
generic dude. Spam. It's nothing.
Fun. Oh, okay.
Hey. Any news on Bryan Danielson? No, nothing right now.
Nothing on Bryan Danielson or Daniel Bryan.
Or Daniel Bryan.
Or the American Dragon.
Nothing. Tons on the American Dragon. Mm-hmm. Tons on the American Dream.
Uh-oh.
That's my new name, by the way.
You're going to be the American Dream.
Your Armenian Dream, Andrew Zarian. All right, guys. That's it for this week. Listen, we had some news. There's some more stuff coming through the channels over the next couple days, so I'm sure we're going to be filled with a bunch of stuff on the social media pages. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew Zarian. You can follow Rich, BTC Rich, on Twitter. I got to go catch a train. Sorry to start this early and cut it short, but I got to go to my big boy job.
Yeah, baby.
I just make diapers. That's my job.
That's your big
boy. I wear a suit and I just make diapers. I assemble diapers. That's my thing.
It's actually a building called the Big Boy Diaper Company.
Bob Hazelwood, $5, Beetlejuiced me. Bob Hazelwood, Bob Hazelwood, Bob Hazelwood. And he just pops up. He just appears. And he starts talking about, you know, Mid-South Wrestling and Jim Cornette and the Midnight Riders and all those guys. All right. That's it for this week, guys. Love you all. See you next time.
Later.